Thank you, Rod. That was good. God does have power, and in his grace, he extends that to us and through us. Thank you. That was good. And I enjoyed it because I love looking at all the power tools. Power tools are great.
You want to try that?
Yeah, I've done that. I've used the nail gun in the wall. You got to be careful with those. They're really good, though. I want to start out first by thanking my friend Roger. Roger last week covered for me while I was in Arizona, and I'm very grateful for that. His ministry, his love for the Lord, his love for you all. And Lois and I have been wanting to go out for a number of months, and just nothing was working. And then finally, everything kind of fell together. I think you know who that, how that is, the tickets, the timing, the whole thing. So we had a chance to go out to Arizona and be with my, see, you switch or me switch? Okay. There you go. I did. I wanted the sheep. I'm past the sheep now. Okay. So you know who this guy is, the first one, and Lois, and that's my sister-in-law, Jan, and my brother, Reg. And we know we're below 4,000 feet. You know why we know we're below 4,000 feet? There's a cactus in the picture. And it is just amazing driving up. They literally, you can almost draw a line. They stop growing. And they try to introduce them to higher elevations, but they've figured out. And so we learned a lot about desert stuff. And this picture, a little harder to see in here, but you're looking at the side of a mountain. And there's a pointer in this thing. We stayed up there, and the roads are switchbacks all the way up. And what you can't see over here are, one was an open pit, huge mining thing, and then what you can't see below the mountains, and I forgot already how many hundred feet they went down in their tunnels. Was it 1,700? It was mind-boggling. 1,900 anyway. And they have a model showing all the mine shafts. I don't know who made the model. So, but 100 years ago, that was literally one of the richest towns in the United States because of copper, gold, and silver they were pulling out of there. And then it turned into a ghost town, and now it's a tourist town. And we stayed in the hospital. That was the hospital up on the side of the mountain.
What's the name of the town?
Jerome. This is Jerome. So we're at the elevation of the town's 5,000 feet. It was snowing in the evening when we were up there. There's snow up above us. And then we could look across the valley to some of the higher mountains. They go up to 16,000 feet and the canyon. So it ain't Maine, I'll tell you that much. It's very different. But we had these different trips with them, and it was really a good time. But pray for my brother and his family. They're dealing with a variety of things, and I'll have some prayer out in prayer and praise, but this is being taped, so I'm not going to get into that now. But God is faithful, amen? He is faithful. Also to be praying, I mentioned earlier, some of you come in since then, two of our members are on a missions trip. They flew down yesterday, Eric and Phyllis, and it's a tremendous ministry that they're doing. Cheryl went last year. Hope to get a report from them when they come home, but it's just a great thing they're doing, that God would bless them. I'd heard there was an earthquake off, was it Jamaica, 7-point-something? It shook the whole region anyway. They're very susceptible down there to storms and earthquakes. So, and people are nervous with that, but pray it's a really great week for them. Amen? couple of things before I get started with the message. This is the devotional I've been using now for about a year and a half. And I just keep putting this up as a reminder because not everybody's here every Sunday. It's a great devotional. We'll see how the time goes. I may even read from today's. It dovetails in very nicely with my message this morning from 1 Timothy. But I just appreciate the way that Dr. Tripp is able to explain both our needs and God's grace. It's in a very different format than I've read before, but I find it very, very helpful. Am I skipping a slide here? Back. Unshakable Hope. This is the study group that we're doing in the evening, and we have a workbook, a reading book, and then a video lesson. And we've just got started with it. So if you want to join us, please do. We've only done the first lesson. But I find it very helpful, and especially with all that's going on in our world today, to get ourselves really grounded on God's Word. Okay, now I'll go forward to where we are today. So this series is 1 Timothy. and it's called Stay the Course. Paul's encouraging a young pastor, a young leader named Timothy, to stay on track, to grow in his faith, and of course to strengthen the church where God put him. And the more I'm studying this letter, the more this title really does make sense. It's used in the context of a war or battle, meaning to pursue a goal regardless of any obstacles or criticism. And there are plenty of obstacles that we have to deal with in our lives. So my prayer is, and I believe it certainly is God's will, that as we study his word, we find strength, we find help, find what we need, amen, through Christ and his power. But it does come from studying his word. I've called today's lesson, Hold On, and I think you'll see what that means when we go through. I backed up a couple verses from 2 weeks ago, so we get the sequence. We're finishing up chapter 1, where Paul would write these words to Timothy. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, but for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. And that's how we get eternal life, faith in Christ. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only true God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Then he's very specific because he is writing to Timothy. Timothy, my son, I am writing you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I am handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. Now, I'm not going to get into what that last phrase means. Different people look at it different ways. But Paul's purpose in handing them over to Satan wasn't to just he was mad at them and wanted Satan to torment them. As you read all through the Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, anytime there is some form of punishment involved, what is God looking for? Change. He wants the person to turn. It's for correction purposes. It's not just, I don't like these guys, so I want Satan to beat them up. I want them to learn and repent and turn. So, okay, let's break this down a little bit. I called this Hold On. What's Paul saying to Timothy he needs to hold on to? And first we hear again Paul's confession, Paul's worship, Paul's challenge, and then Paul's concern, the four components. So, we'll take them one at a time. So what's Paul's confession? His confession is, and he doesn't go into detail here, but if you know his story of who he was before he became a follower of Christ, he was a Pharisee. He thought it his duty to persecute this new group that had sprung up, this man called Jesus who had, in Paul's thinking before he met Jesus, a self-proclaimed Messiah. He wasn't a self-proclaimed Messiah. He is the Messiah, not self-proclaimed, God-ordained. So then Paul could write, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, because he had persecuted the church. He'd overseen the stoning of one of the early disciples, Stephen, and then he was out to do more in when Jesus interrupted his life. Jesus tends to do that. But we're all that sinner. Without the grace of God in our lives, I'm the one that would have persecuted the church and been against Christ. He said earlier on in the chapter, but God in his mercy knew I acted out of ignorance. And as I deal with people and you deal with people, I'm sitting there driving around the Phoenix sprawl. That city just goes on and on, the sprawl. And I think, how many people here know Jesus? Many of them are living in ignorance. They haven't known the wonder that I have found in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And yet I saw some big churches, some little churches. My niece said to me, oh, I wish we had time. We could take you over to one of these churches. I think you'd like it there. We didn't get there, and I wish I had. So God's at work, and yet there's so many people that are unreached. But I can keep my own walk in perspective. I'm not better than somebody else. That's a horrible thought. I needed Jesus, and we all need Jesus just the same, just as much, just as Paul did, Timothy, I do, you do. And everyone we talk to, we need Jesus. And we need to reach out to them with the grace and mercy that God has reached out to us. So we got to start there. Remember who you are without Christ, lost, with Christ found. And that triggers Paul's worship. I think for years I have underestimated the power of worship, not just singing together, but personal worship. It can be a moment in the car. It can be in the middle of the night. But when my heart focuses on God's greatness, goodness, your heart focuses on who he is, there's tremendous power in that. There's a connection in that. Paul's worship. And it's just one little verse, but what he builds into that, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God. There's no one like him. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Worship is powerful. Worship really helps. What happens when you and I will take a moment and focus on God? What happens to our problems? They don't necessarily go away, but we've changed perspective. I'm not seeing the problem. You can't see two things at once. I mean, there are birds that can because their eyes are on either side of their head, but you and I, our eyes are going this way. They should be. We can only really focus on one thing or one person at a time. When we focus on God, it starts to bring up worship. And as I was looking at geography that I hadn't seen in, I don't know, how many years ago were we in Arizona? 30? 30 years ago is my only other time in Arizona. And I'm thinking, my Father God created all this. And when the naturalist is telling us how these plants adapted to the desert, and how specific they are, and what they do there, and how they grow there, and how they can only live there. And I said, that's my God's creative genius. Genius. It's just awesome. Everything from the snakes I don't like to everything in between. So we worship God, and worship helps us to keep our lives balanced. God is greater than any problem I have, than any problem you have. Our God is greater. And when we focus on him, we realize that. Then came Paul's challenge. This is kind of the heart of it. But Paul challenges to Timothy in this. I have four things here. He says he's to remember what was prayed or prophesied over him, probably at his anointing or commissioning. I don't know the speculation what that means. I'm assuming, remember, and it's an assumption because it's not stated, I'm assuming it has something to do with his calling for ministry and equipping for ministry. Maybe some speculate he had a weakness in a certain area, and they were praying over that. Maybe he felt ill-equipped for it. We don't know. But Paul says, remember this event that happened, and that had meaning to it as people probably prayed over him or for him. So remember things where God has worked, where God has spoken, where God has touched your heart. Don't forget those. Recall those things. And then he challenges Timothy, the challenge that's for every Christian of any age, to know how to fight. The wording in the NIV is to fight the battle well. Fight the battle well. If I were to go to battle, I would hope I would go to battle with other people who knew how to fight. Last thing you'd want is to be in a scenario where you think you and your other military personnel are prepared and practiced and they bail on you and you're left alone. That doesn't work. But to fight the battle well, you're prepared, you're trained, use your armor, and you can go to Ephesians chapter 6 and read as Paul describes the armor of God. I know some here have the practice of praying that on in the morning. I do more and more. Pray on the armor of God because we need that and understand what each component of that is. But then we have to fight. And having done all, Paul says there in Ephesians 6, to stand. You think, well, there's nothing else I can do. Yes, I stand on who Jesus is and what he said. And that links into the next statement where Paul would write to Timothy, holding on to the faith. Hold on, don't let go. Max Lucado has a book, In the Grip of Grace. Chuck Swindoll has a similar one. There's something about God holding on to us that gives me the courage to hold on to him. I know he's not going to let go of me. I don't want to let go of him. And it's sad, as you and I know people that have let go of their faith, or at least seemingly so, temporarily so. And we need to not give up in our praying for them, that God will renew them, God will restore them. I think of it sometimes, that's part of my mission, that's part of your mission. we don't let go of them. We're going to hold on to them and keep praying until God, we see the answer. It may come years down the road. It may be tomorrow. But we hold on to faith for ourselves in Christ and don't let go. And then he couples that with a good conscience. Do the right thing. It always pays to do the right thing. If you get in trouble for doing the right thing, whatever, right? And we do sometimes. You do the right thing, you still get in trouble for it. That's God's problem. When I do the wrong thing, it's my problem. But if you do the right thing, it's going to be okay. You have that standing before God, which people may misunderstand us. Paul certainly lived through that. Misjudge us, condemn us, criticize us, but do the right thing in God's eyes. That keeps your conscience right before him. And then the last part of this is that odd verse where he talks about these two characters. But notice what he says before he names them, which some have rejected. They've rejected. They've turned away from something. And he will explain that. We don't want to reject God's word. The result of that rejection is shipwreck. Paul ends up experiencing shipwreck. He knows that firsthand. I don't think he had when he wrote this, but my chronology may be off. You can check me on your phone. Anyway, suffered shipwreck. I have not been in shipwreck. I've been in a boat that was sinking 2 times. Anybody been in a boat that's been sinking? Most small boats have drain plugs in the stern. Okay, so my brother had a runabout years ago. We launched it in the Songo River. If you've ever been there, it's very slow. You have to just putt-putt. And we launched, and we're moving along, and he had a stern drive in it, so you can't reach in the back. But Reggie says, the boat isn't handling right. Would you open the engine cover? Something's funny. I opened the engine cover, and much to my not pleasant surprise, there was the top of a motor, and the water was coming up onto the deck, and there's muddy beaches near there, so he just gunned it, rammed it up on the beach, and we drove to town to get a drain plug. And that was fun. The other time was for me in Sabattis Lake with my dad's boat, which had an outboard, and I launched the boat, same thing. I started out, I'm by myself, and I'm going, this boat doesn't handle right. And then I remembered, no drain plug. But there I had the fun chance to just open it up, let the boat go, it's self-drained. And while the boat's running down the lake wide open, I crawled underneath, put the plug in, and it was a good day. It was a good day. You don't want shipwreck. You don't want to, and of course, there's the famous picture of the Annie McGuire. We have a copy of it downstairs in the basement. I should have had it on the screen here. Shipwrecked on it's Christmas Eve, I think, off Portland Headlight. The light was working. The visibility wasn't awful. And there's great stories written about why it got shipwrecked, and they think it was an insurance scam. But it's a great picture anyway to have this masted schooner smashed up on the rocks. You don't want shipwreck. Causes loss of life and all those things. How do you avoid shipwreck? They rejected something. And Paul tells us, with regard to the faith, sound Bible teaching, to the best of my limited ability, and it is limited, I try to present to you the Bible as accurately as I know how. Having said that, I am limited in how I present Scripture. I pray, and I know some of you, maybe all of you, pray that God will help me to do that, because it's the Spirit who had the words penned. It's the Spirit that reveals these words to our hearts. But I have, at times, not taught Scripture accurately, not represented it the way I believe God would have it represented. And there's certainly plenty of other pastor teachers out there that aren't handling it accurately. And that's not a good thing, because that can lead to part of the shipwreck problem. So how do we avoid that? How do we know what sound Bible teaching is? I think there's a couple of things, but first and foremost is you, your part, your role. Who has a Bible? Raise your hand if you have a Bible. Who has access to a Bible? Okay, I was hoping for universal hands. If you have a phone, you have access to your Bible. If you have a smartphone, good old paper copies are still a blessing to me, because I can sometimes find things faster than Google can look it up, but not always. Google can beat me a lot of times, too. To read Scripture and process Scripture is a wonderful gift. from God, that you and I have Bibles in our language that we can read and understand. You won't get this in school, but the huge fire that changed the world was the reading of Scripture post 1500. You won't read that in most secular textbooks. But as the Bible was translated into the language of the common people, and then they, not being only left to the leaders, I'm not picking on the Catholic Church, it wasn't all bad, but some of the leaders were bad, and they thought, no, we cannot put the Scripture in language, and they said, they can't understand it, only we can understand it. That's not true. God's Word is for everyone. God's Word is for everyone. And that's why we can discuss it together. We can pray over it together. But the Bible is what you and I need to turn to, need to read, need to understand, need to process. Hold on. God knows what He's doing. So as I hold on to my relationship with Jesus, like He says, holding on to my faith, fighting the battle, remembering God's blessings, working hard to do the right thing, because God gets better glory that way than just me screwing up. All those things keep us on track so we can be the light and salt God has called us to be. So we're going to close with a song prayer, Lord, I Need You. And we haven't done this a while in church. It's such a great, great song. Lord, I need You. And this is my prayer as we close. And make this your prayer as we sing this. It's not just a closing song, but these writers put the words together, but it's our prayer as well. Amen. Lord, that is our prayer. It certainly is the truth. How we need You, and the wonderful answer is we have You. Whoever calls in the name of the Lord, short verse, but the answer is shall be saved. We've called on You. Maybe there's someone here who hasn't. They can do that right now. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I am a sinner. I can't do this on my own. I can't get to heaven on my own, for sure. I can't do the life that I want to live on my own without You. I need that power. Rod was talking about with the kids. I need Your power, Jesus. So thank You. You're here to do that. Your Spirit is here to renew us, to refill us, and increase the love for Your Word, that we would grow in grace the more sometimes it can be just a few minutes in Your Word, and it's powerful. Help us to stop and praise You when we see the problem looming, to say, no, I can praise You, God. You're greater than this problem. Amen? We go in Your grace. We go praising Your name in Jesus' great name. Amen. You're dismissed. We will have prayer and praise and Sunday school. Hope you can stay.